Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. Highlights from Dr. Mark Zumhagen's presentation during an Illinois Family Institute forum in Vernon Hills, hosted by Lake County Right to Life. Dr. Zumhagen is a family medicine physician with nearly four decades of experience. In 2009, he co-founded Fearfully and Wonderfully Made, a holistic-based center located in Orland Park, where he currently practices. Dr. Zumhagen is an IFI board member, and in this segment of Spotlight, he discusses how pro-suicide legislation has its roots in Darwinism, and he reminds us that life is a precious gift from God.
I consider assisted suicide to be a symptom. It's a dreadful prospect, but it's only a symptom of a very sick system and a sick society. And medicine has been in that rut for a long, long time. It's somewhat satanic. I'll just be that strong about it. That's why we are continually butting up against abortion, euthanasia. It's because that enemy is still in that system. And it's up to us who know the Lord and who have a strong sense of His creation, that we're made in the image of God. That's what we have to inject back into science. As it is, did you know that you in Illinois can obtain assisted suicide? Do you know how you do it? Go to Oregon. You don't have to be a member of the state to receive the services. The big issue that happens is there's a boundary, like, oh, we're only going to do this for people that are going to die in 6 months anyway. We're just helping them out a little bit. It always expands. It always expands.
Right.
You know, the waiting period gets less. The ages expand. The conditions expand. Once this door is opened, you virtually can't shut it.
That's right.
That's the biggest problem. And it turns doctors into purveyors of death, as if we weren't causing enough trouble already with some of our treatments. Usually the speakers would, of course, mention Hippocrates. You've probably heard of the Hippocratic Oath. We have so much, as a Christian, I'm going to be bold on this, as a Christian nation, we were founded as a Christian nation. We could be so much more bold than that. But the best we came up with, we were swearing by Apollo, a few other gods, and swearing allegiance to them. This oath was derived in like 400 BC. But when did we start using it? That's what I was wondering. I don't know, our medical system really didn't get established in an organized fashion into the early 1900s under Rockefeller's direction and funding. And so I have a sense that's probably when it got started. So you could say, even from its start, it had some less than wholesome elements. But the two stipulations in there that generally have now been removed, but that was really the best part of it, was that you would not give a poison, and I'll read it directly, neither will I administer a poison to anybody when asked to do so, nor will I suggest such a course. Similarly, I will not give a woman a pessary to cause abortion. By the time I took the oath in 1986, I still remember that Apollo part. I swear by Apollo Healer, by Asclepius, by Hygieia, by Panacea, and by all the gods and goddesses, making them my witnesses, that I will carry out according to my ability and judgment this oath and this indenture. So it was a good thought that the Greeks had that doctors shouldn't be a divided allegiance. They shouldn't be providing healing and killing. And that was a good idea, and it's certainly an idea that we have from our Christian heritage. Very simple idea. God created everything, and you're in the image of God. And why do you have value? Is it because your mind is working? Is it because you have all your limbs? It has nothing to do with that. If you are a human being, no matter what the condition of your body or your mind, you are made in God's image, and you reflect that image as best you can given your physical and mental status. But there's never a point when you lose that ability to be a bearer of God's image. And so in our Christian heritage, there's a clear direction to uphold life. God gave us life, and we are not God, and we are not in a position that we should be taking life, because it is a precious gift from God. But what I wanted to explore was, how did we get here? How did we get to this point where more than half of our country is moving in this direction? Just a regular audience out there, you could tell them how bad it gets. Some people don't die right away. The standards keep slipping, so to include more and more people. After a while, it's not you have a right to die. After a while, it's you have a duty to die. You're being economically told, well, we don't have enough money for your cancer treatment, but we do have enough money for your assisted suicide. The terms they use are MAID, probably heard that, MAID, Medical Assistance in Dying. They call it MAID in Canada. Canada, particularly Quebec, there's been some horrible statistics in terms of the way this law is being expanded. The Netherlands, we don't have to look too far to see where this goes, how it runs. They sell it on the idea, you're being compassionate, these people are suffering, let's help them. That's the devil's ruse, because it is all about people that are focused on death. There's a great verse that I find so compelling in Proverbs, the last verse of chapter 8, speaking about wisdom. And it says, those who reject me love death. In certain musical enterprises and things, we see skulls, death, this worship of death. My wife is of Hispanic heritage, and she said, we never celebrated the Day of the Dead. Now they make it seem like, oh, that's just a cultural thing. Everybody does that. She says, we never did that. That's being resurrected at this time. And they make it seem like, hey, it's a cultural thing. Okay, let's do it. You know, those who are in league with the enemy love death. But I was looking at our medical system, and where does this all start? Where does this all start that we don't believe that we're made in the image of God? I believe it starts in 1859. 1859 is the publication of The Origin of Species. That's when science, particularly biological science, made a decision that, hey, we can explain all this without God. We don't need God. We're all glorified amoebas. It takes away the idea that man is at the pinnacle of God's creation. Another thing that it destroys, if you're looking at evolution, that there's always been death and that there's always been evil. So there is no good creation. Creation has always been flawed and full of death and destruction from the beginning. It destroys the entire basis of biblical creation and biblical salvation. We lose Adam and Eve. We lose man. We lose created in the image of God, we lose the fall, we lose Jesus Christ. The whole Christian edifice crumbles when we go down this road. The crazy thing is, Darwin does not make sense. When you look at it even scientifically, easily disproved. You know how you can disprove Darwin? I say this from a very personal viewpoint, because when I was in high school, I almost became an atheist. I was taking high school biology, and they explained the theory of evolution to me, and it made so much sense, and there was no God in it. And I thought, oh, that's it. I mean, that explains everything. We start as amoebas, and then, you know, those little mutations happen, and pretty soon, here we are, complex beings. Makes so much sense. What I call a seductive idea, because it has some kind of an appeal, and then once you're sucked in, it's like a delusion that you can't leave behind. At least you can't leave behind unless you get an injection of some truth. But here's an interesting thing. When did we discover DNA? 1953. In 1958, they discovered this double helix that has all the information that the cell uses to make proteins. And one of the guys that was involved in that, Crick, he was actually a code breaker. And he figured out that actually DNA was a code. that it's got four bases, and with those four different base molecules, that gives the template for the cell to make every protein that it's making. It gives it a direction of how to make the proteins. And the proteins are thousands of amino acids long, and then they curl into these amazing shapes, and they become like machines. Now, if Darwin had actually been able to look at cells, we wouldn't even have the theory of evolution. Because he thought, well, oh, these cells are these little blobs of jelly, and then things get more complicated as we go along. It never isn't complicated. Even when you go down all the way to the cell's like a factory in there. I don't know if you've seen any of these reproductions on YouTube, like what's happening in there. It looks like little machines, and it looks like an assembly line, and they're going boom, boom, boom. And then when DNA is replicating, it doesn't just go splitting apart. It goes, things are moving so fast you can't keep up with it. So what I'm trying to say is life is never simple. It's always complex. But there's a bigger problem. So Darwin said, oh, we're just going from simple to complex. No, we're going from complex to complex. So it doesn't help you out. But here's Darwin's biggest problem, which if we had known back in 1859, we could have just canceled this theory from the beginning. There is information in the cell. And information is not physical. So that means each cell in your body has 3.4 billion letters of code. So each cell has 3.4 billion letters of code. That code is information. It's like an encyclopedia in there. It's an instruction manual. It's an instruction manual for the cell to make everything that it makes. So when we see information in the cell, somebody wrote that in the cell. Information never appears arbitrarily. Information is the signature of intelligence. It's the signature of a mind. It's the signature of a person. There's so many flaws in Darwinism, we could spend all night talking about it, but it can't even get started. Because Darwinism, if it would work, needs a cell. A cell needs a mind to put the information in the cell so it could work. There is more evidence now, at this time on our planet, for the existence of God than has ever existed in the history of mankind. The deeper we delve into creation, the more we see God's fingerprint. Darwin thought he got rid of it. He said, yeah, everything looks designed, but I just showed you how it can all happen. We just start with that cell and get these mutations and everything keeps forming. It just takes a few billion years and it happens. It turns out the mathematicians have figured that even if Darwin was right, and he wasn't, there's many ways to show him wrong, but even if his mechanism was correct, it would take much longer than 4 billion years to go from an amoeba to a man. So his theory fails on every single level. But this is the most important level to know about. It can't even get started. It can't get started without a cell. And the biologists and chemists have been trying to figure out how you can throw chemicals and get self-organized DNA. It can't happen. It's impossible. It's like a fool's errand. It's like trying to make a gold out of lead. You can't. It's impossible. So I wish when I'd been in high school biology, somebody had mentioned that. But they weren't interested in helping me learn that there might be a creator. They were interested in a different agenda. And the agenda in our public schools, and believe me, when you take biology, you have to learn that mythology every single biology class. Darwin, Darwin, Darwin. We start with matter. Evolution says we're starting with matter, and somehow that matter forms itself to a mind. But what does the word say? In the beginning was the word. We start with a mind, our God, and he created everything. So my contention is until we become creationists, we will never fix this problem. It will just come back. When is another example of when this same issue reared its ugly head in our country, 1927, eugenics. So the person who ruled on it was Oliver Wendell Holmes. He was a Supreme Court justice. So at that time, there were numerous states that were starting to sterilize what they called the feeble-minded. And that was a rather arbitrary definition. It's just like this. It's that slippery slope. Like, who's going to label you? What criteria are they going to use? So they started based on Darwin's theory that said survival of the fittest. Eugenics had a positive and a negative. The positive, hey, we're going to get all the smart people to breed together. And the negative part was we're going to sterilize all the criminals and the dumb people. And at the end of his decision on this case, 1927, he said, the same power that gives us the authority to mandate vaccination should be used to mandate sterilization. Three generations of imbeciles is enough.
Wow.
It's the old lifeboat argument, you know, who's least needed will push them out of the lifeboat. It's the same spirit, it's the same satanic spirit that we're facing in this bill. It's been with us for a long time, and it's all founded on a conception of evolutionary materialism that we find in Darwin. So the way to root out this problem is to return God to science, to return God to medicine. That's the answer. I'm not 100% sure how we do it, but I know that's the direction. That's where we have to go. We have to be able to say, you're created in the image of God, and because of that, you have infinite value.
Dr. Mark Zumhagen, during an Illinois Family Institute forum in Vernon Hills, hosted by Lake County Right to Life. More of his remarks from that event after this. This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
The conflict between Harvard University and the Trump administration has been in the news. Victor Davis Hanson uses the news story to ask an important question. Do elite universities really wish to fight the federal government? In his commentary, he unveils a half a dozen problems at universities that might cause American taxpayers to reconsider how much money should be given to them. The first problem is well known. He says over the past half century, tuition has generally risen at twice the rate of inflation. A major reason for this is the fact that the student loan program is run by the federal government. Colleges counted on an insured stream of tuition money and so raised their prices inordinately given federal guarantees. Unfortunately, the percentage of students who have defaulted on their loans along with those currently late on their payments is increasing. That is why he suggests that universities with multi-billion dollar endowments should guarantee their own student loans. They would have a financial interest in seeing their own students graduate in 4 years, get jobs, and pay back their alma mater promptly and fully. A second problem is the lack of any intellectual diversity on campus. Some recent studies have found that liberal professors outnumber their conservative counterparts by a 10-to-1 margin, especially in the social sciences and humanities. They are conservatives and Christians with PhDs in the market, but they are excluded because of political bias. College students rarely get to hear the other side of an argument because professors with those views are essentially banned from campus. These are just two of the concerns documented by Victor Davis Hanson. Tomorrow, I will discuss a few of the others he mentions. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free booklet on a biblical view of intelligent design, go to viewpoints.info/intelligent design. Viewpoints.info/intelligent design.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. We're highlighting Dr. Mark Zumhagen's presentation during an Illinois Family Institute forum in Vernon Hills, hosted by Lake County Right to Life. In this segment of Spotlight, he'll discuss the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, and how the incomprehensible becomes reality without God.
Now, Christianity has permeated medicine. The field of nursing was huge for going in to the sick, the wounded, caring for those on the battlefield. I think we as Christians and we as Christian physicians and nurses should be making a stink about this. I think we shouldn't just be surrendering. You know what the budget is for the NIH? $40 billion. Now, maybe Elon Musk and company will help take care of some of that. But they were doing, just like we've heard all the bizarre ways our taxpayer money has been funded for very evil enterprises. It's been there in the NIH too. They were doing weird experiments of taking fetal cells and putting them onto the backs of mice and making skin transplants. It's just bizarre, evil, ugly stuff. Using babies that were sometimes 18 to 20 weeks old or older. And I'm sure you're aware, but I'll just say it because sometimes people aren't aware. When they use babies for research, they have to be dissected alive. It's Nazi medicine at its worst. And I forgot to mention that when we had that eugenics program going and we're sterilizing, and we did it in the name of science. Eugenics was considered a very scientific enterprise. It was considered top-notch cutting science. And Hitler looked at our program and he liked it. And he was even commended by our scientists as he was getting going before he took it to its ultimate conclusion that, hey, this guy's like, he's really got the idea here. He's really going with it. But when it was discovered how he was using it, he, you know, was killing disabled, mentally retarded, and he moved on to gypsies, and then homosexuals, then Jews, whoever he thought was less than human. That came out of Darwin's next book called The Descent of Man. After he wrote The Origin of Species, he said, well, if my theory is true, that means certain human populations in certain areas are going to be more developed than others. And Ernst Haeckel, who is one of the German followers of Hitler, made a chart. And here was the white race and then the Oriental race. And then there were several steps down. Last was the black race. And right after the black race was the gorilla. So there was more space between the white and the black than there was between the black and the gorilla. So it was just an evil, racist ideology, and we think Hitler was bad. Hitler was just taking Darwin to its ultimate conclusion. Darwin gives you no basis for respecting life. So let me just share with you one simple thought. I read a book by Francis Schaeffer many years ago that has still been percolating in my brain for a while. It was called Escape from Reason. He wrote another one, The God Who Is There. He is there and he is not silent. All good books. How shall we then live? And he came up with this idea. He was looking through history. What happens when we don't start with God? Epistemology is like the study of knowledge. So it's looking like, how do we know that? We're sort of asking ourselves a question like, whatever you're thinking, how do you know that? How do you know that? We're looking at our sources of knowledge. But here's what Schaeffer said. We can look out. That's science. Like, we're going to investigate outside. That's how we're going to get our knowledge. We're going to go outside. We're going to measure. We're going to quantify things. And that gives us facts. We can look in, look inside ourselves. So you could say, I think it's wrong to kill people. That's looking in. That's my belief. So we have these facts, these values. Can I prove scientifically it's wrong to kill somebody? Actually, no. Within science, there is no moral compass. Looking at our world outside of us, you cannot find any support for any belief that you have. Richard Dawkins, who's a profound atheist, I think said it best. He said, the world we see around us has exactly the properties we would expect if there is no design, no purpose, no good, no evil, only blind, pitiless indifference. If we stay in this world and we don't go anywhere else, there is no good, purpose, evil. There's no basis for it. You have to make a jump to values. So you have looking out, facts, looking in, values. That information in the cells says there's something beyond what I'm seeing. And even in this world of values, we all have a shared sense of justice. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Mere Christianity that explores that very nicely, where he said, you know, we all have the same idea, like, hey, you can't have that, that's mine. Hey, it's not right for you to take that. We all have this inborn sense, and two-year-olds have it too, did you notice? Like, take their ball away? You better not. They all have the sense that that's an injustice, that that's a wrong. Where does that come from? It comes from outside somewhere. Where else do we get our knowledge from? So you can look out, you can look in. Where's one more place you can look for knowledge?
Look up.
Look up. I love it. That's it. So that's what we call revelation. And guess what? Revelation tells you you're made in the image of God. That changes your science. Actually, it's a whole nother lecture, but that's how science began. Science began from Christianity. It was discovered in Western civilization, a Christian worldview. It wasn't discovered in China, India, Arabia, because we thought there was one God, a lawgiver, who created our minds in an orderly fashion, created an orderly universe, and we should be able to use our minds to discern the laws that he had put into nature. And that's when Newton, Kepler, Galileo came on the scene. So this revelation gives our science morality as well, and gives us absolute truth, not relative. The Ten Commandments are not true for me and not true for you. They're true for everybody. But I'm just sharing with you because it took me most of my life to figure this out. I'm embarrassed to say it. But here's the problem we face. Have you heard the word secular?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think of when you think of the word secular?
Godless.
So secular is I think, I feel. Have you ever noticed a lot of people these days are saying, I feel that that's not quite right. Nobody thinks it's not right anymore. They always feel it's not right. I don't know. It's just my little pet peeve. But does anybody remember how the Declaration of Independence starts?
We the people.
That. And further down it says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are endowed by our Creator. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So in the United States, science gives us a lot of amazing things. Technology, it's like the wow. It's like, wow, science, experts. We'll trust the experts. They're telling us everything. They have the knowledge. They're the geniuses. So when we make knowledge our God, we begin to think that, like Darwin said, everything is running itself. We don't need God for this, even though we've already shown. I didn't talk about the Big Bang. The Big Bang showed there was a beginning. That's Genesis, in the beginning. Did you know that all this has been figured out since 1960 in the scientific realm? That means when I was growing up, the science caught up with the Bible and showed us that there is a mind that created life, that the universe had a beginning. You know, when Einstein first made his equation, they thought the universe was eternal. They didn't think, oh, we don't need to think about God because the universe is eternal. But when they discovered the universe had a beginning, many astronomers became Christians because they had never realized that the science pointed so exactly to a creator, to God. So what has happened? When I was growing up in the 60s, I mean, there was a little bit of a turmoil there, but it was also the time of Leave It to Beaver, Mayberry, RFD, and all that kind of stuff. We still had mostly Christian values. What did all those shows have in common? They were all nice families, all little bumps in the road. They all solved their problems. They never mentioned God. So when I grew up, this is why I'm saying it took my whole life to, in a sense, wake up, to escape from this, to realize how I was being hypnotized, deluded. I thought that everything worked out fine here without God. Even evolution seemed to show me that that wasn't necessary. And everybody got along anyway, so, I mean, they didn't pray, they didn't go to church, and everything seemed to still work out. But we've seen, you know, we've lived it now. You are a part of the generation that's lived through this. The 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Who would have, even as bad as it was in that time, people, the sexual revolution, turning their back on God, I don't think any of us thought we would be at the point where we were mutilating children. It was incomprehensible. But the incomprehensible becomes reality when you don't have God. Every man does what's right in his own eyes, just like it says in the book of Judges. So we live in this secular world, and medicine is built on the foundation of Darwin, even though the theory it's not supportable. Mathematically, it's not supportable. When you look at the genetics, even the mechanism doesn't work. Nothing about it works. And science that we have today is not science. It's scientism. Science is the study of the outside world. But scientism is the study of the outside world, and that is all there is. And we're losing science. If you don't have God, science degenerates. The studies are not being done in an ethical fashion. We're killing babies to do our research. It fails on all levels. Thank God we're still alive. God has let us see so much. He's let us see all the evil. When the founders made our country, they said, we're not going to call this a Christian country. We're not going to tell anybody what religion to have. But they always said it was a theistic country. They always said God has to be in there. Read George Washington's farewell address. He says, this country's only going to work if people follow God's moral laws. Adams was a Unitarian. He didn't believe in the Trinity. He said, this country is made for a moral people, and it will not work under any other. Loose paraphrase. Now, we're blessed. We know God. We know him through his word. And so we're like a step ahead. So here's what I'm praying for. I'm praying for the third great awakening. We had one great awakening before the revolution. We had the second great awakening in the early 1900s. It is really time for the third great awakening, which means a move of God's Holy Spirit. I see the hand of God so evident in what has been happening in these last few months to take us out of secular. Think of it. We can't talk about God in our schools. We can't talk about God in politics. We can't talk about God in medicine because we're neutral, right? No, secular is satanic. If it's not overt Satanism, it's Satan's realm. God is on the move. He's so merciful. He's left us an open door. It's time for us to walk through that open door with his strength, with his power, with his conviction to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's like that verse in the Bible, the fields are white with harvest. We've seen a lot of darkness revealed. Pray for these people. And you know what? The word of God is so powerful. Even the people you think it would never reach, it can reach. Amen. Don't think anybody is not reachable. And God is love, and there's no other source of love. All that just to say, we've got to break out of this secular mode. We can't be told that we can't speak of God. You know, we have to get God back into every aspect of society.
Amen.
Dr. Mark Zumhagen, during an Illinois Family Institute forum hosted by Lake County Right to Life. Please call your state lawmakers. Ask them to vote no on the Pro-Suicide End-of-Life Options Act, State Senate Bill 9. And also ask your lawmakers to vote no on Illinois House Bill 2827, which threatens home and other private schools with punishing regulations. You can find lawmaker names and phone numbers by clicking Officials Finder on the IllinoisFamily.org homepage. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. To give, go to IllinoisFamily.org and click Donate or call 708-781-9328. Your support is very much appreciated. And go to IllinoisFamily.org to check out upcoming events and to sign on for IFI email updates. Tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.